I'm Tony Miller, and I'll be your host for the show this evening. Welcome back to another edition of Father Mike at the Mic. Thanks for joining us. I'm joined here not only with Father Mike.
Hi, everybody.
But also Mike Locknett.
Hello.
And John Williams.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for answering the call and showing up.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. We'll start off with our news and notes tonight. Let's start off with Stations of the Cross.
Okay.
How's that sound?
Sounds good.
And they're going to do Stations of the Cross at 6:30 at St. Paul's on the Fridays of Lent. Mm-hmm. And that's about, what, half hour, 45 minutes?
I would say half hour.
Half hour?
About a half hour.
And
not,
if you,
not too long.
And if you've never been to the Stations of the Cross before, or done the Stations of the Cross, that's a really neat... Mm-hmm. That's a really neat service. Do you call it a service or a ceremony?
Yeah, it'd be a service.
A service?
Yeah. It's a reenactment of our Lord's journey from his condemnation by Pilate all the way to his burial. And it's 14 different stops on the way. Mm-hmm. And each one has some significance.
And there's Bible passages associated with each one and a prayer at each station. And it's really a neat thing to do.
It is.
So that allowed you to do the Via Dolorosa here. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to go to Rome.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
It's called the Via Dolorosa, which is Latin for the sorrowful journey. Mm-hmm. And it talks about the journey of our Lord, you know, from Pilate's praetorium to Golgotha. So.
Yeah, we used to stream that back a couple during the COVID thing. We streamed a couple of those. So.
Mm-hmm. We did.
They might still be on the parish's YouTube page, maybe, or Facebook, I'm not sure which. Anyway, but Stations of the Cross, definitely worth the time. So if you're looking for something extra to do for Lent, Stations of the Cross is the perfect thing to slide in there.
Another interesting thing about the stations, I don't mean to bring it up because it might create a whole new show for us, but there's what they call a plenary indulgence attached to the Stations of the Cross. Mm-hmm. Which means that with communion and confession and a firm resolve not to commit sin, that all of your, you know, your confessed sins are forgiven, you know. And I know we have a little bit of difficulty trying to understand what indulgence means. I mean, between the different religions, you know. But it's a special grace that is given through the church at this time of the year to people to come back to the church in a special way. So it's marvelous, really.
For a long time there, indulgence was a dirty word.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm hesitant to bring it up right now without a fuller explanation of what it is.
Okay.
We don't sell them, though. We don't sell indulgences.
No.
Well, maybe 500 years ago they might have, but...
I was going to say there was a time when they were accused of doing that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and there was a time when, to be absolutely honest, there was a time when some people did, priests did. So we've got to acknowledge that. So
there's that human aspect of priests again.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's the saying? Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Absolutely.
Priests are not immune to those effects. The other thing we'll just mention quickly again is the Casey Fish Fry that's going on Fridays from 5 to 7 out at St. Mary's.
Yes. And it'll run actually up against the Stations of the Cross, because Stations of the Cross is at 6:30 at St. Paul's. And we'll be out here from 5 to 7. So if you come out here and eat or take it home, you can still make the Stations of the Cross. Right. But the fish we had last week was fabulous.
I remember.
Yeah, big piece of cod. It was very good.
Yeah.
My wife couldn't eat the whole piece, so I ate mine and half of hers.
Yeah, it's a dirty job, but
somebody has to do it.
That's right.
Can't let it go to waste.
So if you want to hit the Casey Fish Fry at 5 and then eat and have some social time, some fellowship, and then go to Stations of the Cross.
Mm-hmm. And the fish fry also is one of our biggest things that we do to make money for the knights, and we use that for different things, such as we give out scholarships for students at Notre Dame. Not college scholarships, but scholarships for students that might be struggling a little bit, their families, for their tuition to go to Notre Dame. We give out a lot of money. as much as we can. We're not, our job is not to make, our job is to make some money, but to give it out to help the community. Money goes to, we've given money to Birthright, to the food pantries. You know, people come to us needing money, and we have meetings over it, and that's what we like. That's what we're supposed to do.
Sure.
Is to serve our community.
Yeah. You do a great job.
So.
Great job.
So if the Casey Fish Fry, be there, have a good meal. It's a good time. Last thing we're going to talk about in our news and notes tonight is Adoration and Confession. And we're actually recording this on Thursday night. And John, before you came, you said you had just been over to Adoration for a half an hour and stopped in to have confession real quick.
Normally on Thursday nights are really great. Confession used to be Saturday morning at 11 at St. John's. Now they've changed to Thursday night here at St. Mary's. And then you have the chance to go in for Adoration. And you can spend 5 minutes at Adoration if you wish. And then you can go in for confession. You can go back into Adoration, and it's just it's the time that you're spending, you and the Lord. And they have the best incense. I love the incense. My wife is always, she grew up in the church, and she always loves the incense. And you can do both. And I noticed tonight we had more people in Adoration and confessions right there.
I love the incense too.
Oh, the incense is fabulous.
Yeah. I just love it. It's one of the best things about Mass.
Right.
There are a lot of people who don't, though.
If they have respiratory issues or something, then I can understand that.
Sure.
But I really do like the incense.
Mm. Yeah. John came in the studio tonight to get ready for this program, and he was just beaming. So it wasn't just the incense, you know.
That's right.
And I don't think it was anything else except God's grace.
He was fresh and clean as a whistle.
No, I was working on a car. I hit the ground running this morning at 0600, and I've been running all day, went to the gym, we did this, we did that. Been working on a car in the garage, and I kept watching the clock and looking at my hands. I thought, I got to wash, and I don't need to get all cleaned up because we're just going to be here, just the four of us guys. And
nobody sees us. We're on the radio. We all have faces that are really suitable for radio.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Absolutely. So if you're looking for Adoration, you can do Thursday nights from 6 to 8.
I believe that's what it is.
They've got 2 hours of Adoration on Thursday nights now. So that's an improvement.
You can come anytime you want.
Yep. And you can drop in just for half an hour, 20 minutes.
Right. Even if you come for 5 minutes, right. Just say, I'm going to run over for 5 minutes. I'm going to go in. I'm going to just go through Adoration. I need to pray about something. Just go in. And pretty soon you look at your watch, you've been in there for 30 minutes.
Yep.
Right. And time goes by really fast.
Yeah.
It really does.
And it's quiet. Nobody's going to come up to you and ask you anything. It's quiet. It's your quiet time with the Lord, and you can just spend it talking.
And there's also the First Friday Adoration.
Yes.
And that's 24 hours of Adoration.
Yes.
And you can, they start Adoration after Mass on Friday morning.
I believe it is, yes.
And then they have Adoration until Mass Saturday morning at 8.
And I believe the nights we take turns covering. We'll do like an hour.
Yeah.
We'll cover it for an hour. So there's always at least somebody there.
There's always at least one person there, if not two or three. And that's, again, you can stop by anytime, drop in, stay as long or as short as you like.
If you wake up at 3 a.m. and you can't get back to sleep, just put on some jeans and grab a jacket and run over here for Adoration.
You can come in your pajamas if you want to.
Jesus doesn't care.
No.
He doesn't care.
But I would have to, coming at night, overnight time is very special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming at midnight or 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Which we know about. And it's a very special quiet time. It's quiet outside. You don't have traffic. It's just a very special time.
And if it's, sometimes it's nothing more than you sitting there looking at Jesus and Jesus looking back at you.
Yeah,
I don't remember what saint it was that said that.
But. I look at him and he looks at me.
Yeah.
And sometimes you might even fall asleep.
Sometimes that happens, yeah.
That happens, yes.
I asked Father Marty one time if you fall asleep in the middle of a rosary, if that's a bad thing. And he said, no, he said the angels finish it for you.
I like that.
So yeah. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So.
Believe it.
That's good.
All right, Father Mike, you want to get us started with an opening prayer here?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we gather today, tonight, around this table and around this microphone to do your will, to boldly proclaim the goodness of your mercy, to remember during this holy season of Lent all that you have done for us. Give us the grace to be faithful to our Lenten promises, O Lord, and help us to do your will in all that we say and do. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
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 In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father Mike.
You're welcome.
We're officially underway now.
We are.
So we've had the Father Mike special, and we can get started.
And
here.
I have my phone too, but it's turned off. Last week I lost my phone, so we were in great distress. But anyway, we've got it.
Well, we've got John and Mike here with us tonight, so let's start off and talk to them a little bit about.
Why don't we introduce them? I don't think you introduced them, did you? Or not?
Yeah, I did.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I fell asleep. I'm sorry.
Are you sleeping again?
I'm sleeping again.
Give Father some coffee.
Who wants to go first? Mike, John? Tell us a little bit about your background in the church and your journey in the church and just kind of where you're at and where you're from.
Well, it's from Burlington. My journey in the church, I didn't go very far from St. John's Church. Well, my grandparents immigrated here in 1924, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Coming up. Mm-hmm. So we've always been there. Went through St. John's School and... So I've always been there, so I've never journeyed too far.
Mm-hmm.
Just go away to college and spent 1 year out in Western Iowa, but otherwise I've spent my whole time here. And it's home, as it is to so many other people.
Mm-hmm. You brought a lot of musical talent to the church, too. I don't know what we'd do in Des Moines County without Mike Luckman, was concerned.
Well, was the director of the choir back in the 70s and early 80s, and then was a member of the choir ever since then, and St. Paul's choir sometimes too, until COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I had to stay away. But so that was, I was there, went through, you know, went was an altar server, and instructed by Father Fabian. I don't know if anybody remembers.
Years ago, Father Fabian. Yeah, I remember him.
I'll tell you what the incentive was. Do you learn your Latin prayers?
Yeah, that's right.
He taught us phonetically, pronounce the prayers, and to learn them, the incentive to learn them is he handed out cherry bombs.
Oh, really?
The faster you learned your prayers, the more cherry bombs you got.
Wow.
Wow.
My dad thought that was okay.
Did he really?
Yeah, he's a pyromaniac, yeah. So that was he liked firecrackers. Yeah, he was all in favor of him. Mm. So you study hard.
Funny.
And it was. Boy, can you imagine that today? Oh my goodness!
No, they wouldn't do that today.
Yeah.
When he had the meeting there, and he had a whole gross of them. Well, I think, of course, they came from Kansas from. Atchison, I think fireworks were legal in Kansas, so that was your incentive to learn your prayers.
So you also were part of the band thing at the every summer?
At Crapo Park, yes.
Crapo Park. Yeah. I remember going out to listen to the band. I always enjoyed that.
That's been...
You were the conductor.
For 9 years I was the conductor, but I've been a man and then passed it on to other people. But I'm trying to think. Since 1963 was the first year I played in the summer concerts. So every year. So
those were always fun. They drew a lot of people, too.
Yeah.
You're still involved in that,
Still involved in that, yes.
And you live down 8th Street from, or Division Street from St. John's?
Oh, I grew up, yeah.
Oh, you're out by the airport now, aren't you?
Yeah, I grew up a block from St. John's.
Yeah, okay.
Canning Corner from the Jewish Temple.
Okay, yeah.
The brick house.
No, the little yellow house.
Oh, the little yellow house.
The little yellow house. There was a white house in the corner, and probably half to three quarters of the people on that block went to St. John's.
They did.
Yeah, there was the Mrs. Murphy on the corner, and then us, and then a couple empty, not empty lots, non-goers there. And then there was the Ortman sisters. Older people know them. And then the McCanns and the Shears, and across the street, coming back were the Orths. And then the Zumkellers, from Zumkellers Bakery. And Alan Dede Mark, and my grandparents, and some people by the name of Gasparovich lived there too.
What a good memory you have.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I can't remember what I had for lunch.
I hear that.
I can remember everything that I don't need to remember. So I need to remember. So that was...
You know, something about that neighborhood is interesting. I don't know. Yeah. Some local historians may correct me. Yeah. But that Division Street going up the hill to St. John's and then down to the river, that used to be part of the Underground Railroad back in the Civil War days. Yeah. And they would, escaped slaves would use that.
Yeah.
And in those days, of course, it was just a path more than anything else. Burlington was very important during that time.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
There was, I can tell the story, I guess it was a military road that, people going west forded the river down there and came along what was Division Street. And there was, my dad was a young boy. He lived there in that neighborhood. And there was an elderly gentleman there who was a young boy. I think in the house of 6th Division. There's a new house there now. And he watched the wagons go. But he said there were wagons going west, but there were wagons going east also, California or bus or whatever. But going east was the hell we'll go, but never again west. But he had to go in and ask his mother what that meant because he was too small. The history part. But and I guess one other story about the building of the Jewish temple, because we were just catty corner there, and I was little, I don't know, 4 year old, and I had a little pedal tractor one day, and I was out front, and I was backing up, and I was saying, gosh darn it, but I wasn't saying that. And my dad comes out and says, right away scolded me, where did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, that's what the man in the dump truck across the street says when he's backing up.
Oh, no.
We now, remember this.
I didn't know any better. I never heard it anywhere else.
Remember, this is a family oriented show tonight.
Well, that's my.
That's the case.
I hope that's all right. So,
John, how about you? Mike is a cradle Catholic.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
And you're a convert.
I'm a convert. I converted approximately around 14 years ago.
Mm.
But up to that time, up to 14 years ago, I was doing a lot of asking questions, wondering what's going on. My mother-in-law, bless her, she's still alive today, thank God. And she even would point to me, and we'd have family get-togethers, and she'd point to me, and she would shake her finger and say, "You're a closet Catholic. You're a closet Catholic." And I just, no. I was raised in the Lutheran Church, which I guess is about as Catholic as you can get without going to the Catholic Church. Went religiously, went to all the services, was in Sunday school, confirmed, on and on. I went away to college. Those were wild days, which I do not care to remember anymore. But still, even being at college and the things that went on at college, I still had that scripture I learned in the Lutheran Church buried into my heart that once in a while it would jump up and kick me in the side of the head and say, "You're wrong. What you're doing is wrong. You need to stop this." And I would go, "No, I'm going to do what I want to do." So I'd go ahead and do that. But then I graduated from college, started on the railroad, spent 38 and a half years with Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway. I got to 30 years old. I'm thinking I'm not going to find anybody. I kept praying for a wife of the Lord's choosing. And he finally sent someone that would put up with me because I'm very type A. That's what makes a good paramedic. I've been a paramedic for just shy of, became paramedic in 97. Retired volunteer firefighter with two different departments. He sent her to me and she put up with me for a while, but we're married. And then I kept questioning where I was at. I went to many good churches in Burlington, Protestant churches, learned a lot of scripture, enjoy the people there, wonderful people. I'm not going to tell you which churches I went to, but we spent time in many of the evangelical type churches, great people, very helpful. But I kept thinking there's something kept prodding me. Mm-hmm. And I finally started talking to some of the priests. I'd make an appointment and talk to the priest and ask them questions, different things about praying to the saints, praying to Mary, confession. And I finally decided it was time to join the church. I went through RCIA. That was kind of, it was fun because the lady that ran it, she said something to the effect of, you ought to be running this because you know more scripture than I do. And I said, I grew up in the church. Sure. I did as a child. Absolutely. I grew up in the church. So the scripture that was buried in my heart as a young child, and even as a Protestant, and there's nothing wrong with being Protestant. And I've told people, if you're Catholic, be Catholic. If you're a Baptist, be Baptist. Live your faith. Mm-hmm. That's what God wants you to do. Bloom where you're planted. If you feel drawn toward, there's something more, and you feel drawn toward the Catholic faith, call the parish office. Get an appointment with the priest. Ask him the questions. Doesn't mean you're going to become Catholic. You won't be contaminated, I guarantee you. But when I became, when I converted, it was where I needed to be, and I realized really where I needed to be was right after they opened the churches back up after COVID, and the first time I walked in St. John's, and I stood there and got teary-eyed, and I said, this is where I need to be. This is where I need to be. And I missed it so much not going to Mass.
Yeah.
And Mass meant so much to me. Watching it on Zoom or on online, I'm sorry, it didn't mean that much to me. It really didn't. But being with other believers and being within the church and going to Mass, receiving the Eucharist meant everything to me. And for the longest time, speaking of the Eucharist, it took me a while to finally, I know a lot of Catholics even struggle with the body of Christ, mm-hmm. the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, and they go, well, it's a symbol, and I finally have come to the realization it is the true body and blood of Christ. Now, when I hold as a Eucharistic minister, if I'm giving out the wafer, you look at it, well, that's a wafer, and you taste it, it's a wafer. It's the body of Christ, and it's in you that you realize that's the body of Christ.
And that's where the whole faith thing comes in.
That's the whole, it's your faith that is the body, because he even said in Scripture, at the Last Supper, and this is what the priest says every time, this is my body, which should be given up for you. Take, eat. Yeah. He didn't say, this is a wafer given up for you.
Yeah, he didn't say, this is a representation. This is a representation.
He said, this is my body. This is my blood. You will consume it. It's given up for you. That's what I believe.
And that's kind of, I guess, when it made sense, because earlier he said, you have to eat my body and right. drink my blood. And this is a hard teaching. They said,
right. And it took me a while, even after my conversion, yeah. to come to that, where I finally understood it, and I finally went, okay. And then people have asked me, why did you convert? And I didn't understand for the longest time, and I finally understood it, where I realized it was the Virgin Mother that prayed me in. That's what I believe. I can't prove that to anybody. I just believe that that's where it came from. The Virgin Mother prayed. This is why it kept prodding me for 10 years before I converted. It was this prodding. Pushing. I didn't understand it.
Your mother-in-law might have had something to do with
it. She might have. There might have been other Catholics praying,
sure.
praying for me. I don't know. But I'm where I need to be. It's home. It is where I need to be. That's basically all I can really say about it. And if I know there's a lot of Catholics that have stepped away from the church for whatever reason, all I'm going to say is, come back. Come back to the faith. You can always make excuses for not going. There were times I'd make excuses for not going to church, and it's like, this is where you need to be. Oh, I'm going to go golfing. I'm going to go fishing. Oh, I don't like the way the priest gives the homily. It's too long. Or whatever. And now we're looking at Father Mike.
Why is everybody looking at me?
Can you imagine, Father Mike? Can you imagine?
But it's a matter of, that homily that the priest is giving may not be for anybody else in that congregation except for one person that needs to hear what that priest is saying. Everybody else is sitting there thinking, oh, I got a beef roast in the oven, or I'm going to play golf this afternoon, or, you know, the Vikings are playing it too, or what. Okay, but there might be one person in that congregation, and it might be the priest that needs to hear that himself as he is giving a homily.
Sure.
It's confirming to him.
It's amazing when you're sitting there listening to the homily, if you actually sit and listen to the homily and listen to what the priest is saying and talking about the gospel reading and what it means and how often you'll be struck by something that he said.
Just but one thing.
It's like, oh, that one, that was directed right at me.
It's me.
He's talking right to me.
And why is he looking at me when he's talking right to me? I'm sliding down in the pew going, okay, Father, yes.
He's really not looking at you, but I mean, people think he is.
Right.
One of the things that attracts me to this is that as you're preaching, sometimes there's a silence that comes over the whole church, which is really kind of amazing. Right. You're just, it's kind of scary in a way because you wonder, why are they quiet? There's nobody crying, nobody sneezing, nobody coughing, you know, and you just, I just keep going.
Well, it could be because the Spirit of God has has overcome the top of the congregation, and everybody's listening now with their spiritual ears, and they're going, what does he have to say?
That's right.
And they know basically what the homily is going to be about, basically.
Yeah.
But that one phrase you say, that one sentence you say, might be the one thing they take with them, and they put it in themselves, and 3 days later they're at work, and they need that one thing that you said.
Yeah.
And you don't even realize as a priest that they all of a sudden they run up on something and they go, Father said, I'm going to stand on this.
Yeah.
The other thing that helped bring you to the church was the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
And it's amazing that I'll ask it this way. How often do you guys talk to other people about your faith? How often do you plant that seed out there?
I spent a large amount of time the other day after working out, talking with a friend of mine about the things of God, about the Catholic Church. And we just had a lovely conversation. It wasn't anything condemning. It was just a lovely conversation. And I look at it as seed planting.
Sure it is.
Mm-hmm. If I'm at Walmart, I go through one of the check lanes and somebody will say something, you know, the lady at the cash register or somebody behind me, I have said a small piece of scripture quietly to them and they'll look at me like, what? And I'll say, remember, you are dust and to dust you shall return.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, that's dark. And it's like, it's true. Everything we have, we don't have.
No.
We don't even have our own lives.
No. Yeah, everything we have, we've been given.
That's
right.
So we need to be thankful every day for everything we have. And what is it saying even in the scriptures? To rejoice in every circumstance.
Right.
It's tough to do that if you've had surgery, if you're sick, if you're getting macular degeneration, if you just had something diagnosed, it's terrible. It's so hard to be able to say, okay, God, I'm rejoicing that I have this. What?
Mm-hmm.
How do I do that?
Yeah, that's right.
But I think it comes through practice as you bless God and bless him for all your blessings. When the storms come, and they'll come, and this is something else I've told people, I said, I'm going to give you a warning. If you decide you're going to turn toward home and turn back to God and the things of God, there's a warning that comes with it. You're going to be attacked.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Because the devil and his minions, they're coming for you.
Yeah.
Right now, if you're not turning toward home, they can just let you sit.
Sure.
Yep.
They can let you sit and just flop around like a fish on the shore.
Sure. Yep.
But when you decide, I've got to get back to my faith. here it comes. Look for it. They will attack you.
That might be one of the reasons why I have a difficulty with Lent. It's because I am attacked more often in Lent, not by people, but by spiritual forces than I am during the year. You know, it seems like it's more difficult for me to get out of bed and go say Mass. It's more difficult for me to prepare a homily. It's more difficult to do the things that I normally do easily during the season of Lent.
Being 80 years old probably doesn't have anything to do with that.
Oh, I think it'd have a little bit to do with that. Devil is in the 80 years, too, I'll tell you.
Well, this is where we need to pray for our priests and pray for our clergy, because they're going to be way attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Because the devil does not want them to get up out of bed,
sure,
to prepare a homily, to celebrate a Mass. They don't want that.
Yeah.
They're just screaming their heads off saying, no, don't do that. Because one person might wake up.
That's right.
And we don't want that to happen.
I've actually lived what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because I fell away from the church for 5 or 6 years. And while I was away from the church, life was easy. Life was good. And 6 years later, when I came back to the church, things got hard again,
right?
And things were not easy, and I, you know, was diagnosed with cancer, and all these things happened that were not good. And I asked Father Marty about it, and he says, "Well, that's easy." He said, "While you were away from the church, the devil didn't need to work on you.
That's right.
You were already worked yourself out of the whole thing.
He pretty much had you.
He could go work on Father Mike."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Father Marty.
So when I came back to the church, the devil went, whoa, I got to start focusing on you again.
Yeah.
And that's just exactly how it happened.
But isn't it a wonderful thing to see people who have been out of the church and back again, people who have converted from another faith, that you guys are so excited about your faith? One of the things that Mike and I can probably agree on this, but since we're both cradle Catholics and all that, is that cradle Catholics are not that excited about their faith. And so you're anxious to share what you've got, what you've been given, and we're a little bit reluctant to do it, even though we've all been given the same thing.
That's great. Really, the only times that are really exciting for me is leaving confession.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's...
It's just really...
That is a good feeling, isn't it?
It is, yes.
I've had people ask me about confession, and I said, you need to talk to the priest, but I'll tell you what I understand in my life with confession. When you sit, and the scriptures say we're supposed to confess our sins one to another and to pray for one to another. Scriptures tell us to do that. When you sit and talk to somebody and confess your sins directly to them, eye to eye, I don't want to be behind the little wall. I want to sit right there, look at them eye to eye, and confess my sins. That doesn't mean in the privacy of my own home, driving down the street, I can't confess my sins too.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying that. It's like progression of confession all the time. Yeah. It's like, oh, I messed up again. So I'm going to confess it and try to do better. But people say, well, you shouldn't have to, you know, I've heard the script, they'll say, there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And that's the scripture.
Yeah.
But that's not what they're saying here.
No.
That's not
right.
So that was another thing I struggled with, but I learned. But I know I'm where I need to be. When I'm not at Mass, I miss it. I have people that say, well, I've got other things going on. I said, you have to make Mass. If you're practicing Catholic, you have to make it a priority in your life. Yeah. You have to adjust your lifestyle so you're going to Mass.
Yeah.
Whether it's Saturday, whether it's Sunday. Now, sometimes I don't go to Saturday. I might be fishing or something or hunting. But I go, okay, but I'm going Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to Mass.
Yeah.
Because it's a priority in my life. If I don't go, it's like... it's my recharge time and getting ready for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
It's not negotiable.
If you're trying to negotiate, should I go to Mass or not, you shouldn't even have to think about it.
Yeah.
And I hate to sound like a broken record, but the turning point for me was when I decided that Mass wasn't something I had to do.
Right.
But something that I get to do.
And
something that I can do and that I want to do.
And if you miss it, you feel this hole.
Yeah.
I need to be there.
And people in the United States don't realize, we went to a EWTN radio conference, well, it was 10 years ago now, And the speaker was talking about, there were 200 or 300 people in the audience. And the speaker got up and asked, he said, so how many people have mass daily where they live? And hands went up. And they said, how many people only have weekly mass, Sunday mass, where you live? Less hands went up. And they said, how many people have to drive more than an hour to get to mass? Mm. And it was amazing how many people there were in that room that raised their hand. There were probably 100 people in the room out of 400 that had to drive more than an hour to get to mass.
That's a commitment.
And there were 20 or 25 who didn't have a mass that they could get to on Sunday. So we just don't know how lucky we are, especially in Des Moines County, to have two priests and a parish for everybody and,
three priests.
Two and a half.
Is now checking in, folks.
We are so blessed to have Father Mike here because he fills in so many gaps that I don't think a lot of our parish people understand. We need to pray for our priest, lift him up in prayer, because they're being attacked. But Father Mike is doing this, and it's like, go retire. He's having a blast doing what he's
doing.
And he feels called. That I'm speaking out of turn, but I believe you feel called of God.
I do, absolutely. And well, I got to go to church too, you know. I would feel, you talk about a hole in your heart when you don't go. I would feel even doubly guilty if I knew that there were people out there that wanted the Eucharist.
Right.
And I'm sitting at home watching TV. I mean, you know. And so it's a joy for me to be part of that. And you talk about, in one sense, a priest never retires. You know, he's always a priest. I'm kind of the family priest, you know, because whenever there's any kind of thing in our family, they always kind of refer to me. But it's a joy to be able to help, you know, as long as you're feeling good and you're able to do what you're able to do. It's a real joy. I enjoy being with the people and shaking hands with them and all.
I'm blessed to see you walk in.
Yeah.
Beginning of Mass, I wonder who's the celebrant, and I see Father walk out, and I go, good. And not, I mean, any of the priests walk out, because sometimes I'm concerned about, are we going to have a priest a year from now?
I know what you mean.
We're so short, but we're so fortunate in our parish to have three priests and a deacon.
Right,
and a
deacon.
Two deacons, that's right. When you see Father Mike walk in, you think, you know, so there are some Saturdays you're sitting in Mass, or when I lector, and you're going, there's no priest here yet. Are we going to have a priest tonight? Is there, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it gets to the point where, you know, if not for Father Mike, we might not have a Mass on Saturday night at St. John's or St. Mary's or whatever.
So I had a real temptation to pride a couple years ago because one of the priests was sick and I was not scheduled to be at the Mass. And so Father called me and said, oh, could you come over right away? Father can't say Mass and we need somebody right away. So apparently there was a 5 or 10 minute hiatus there where they weren't sure if they were going to even have Mass. And it was at St. John's. Place was packed. And I walked in from the side and they all applauded. Could you believe that? So I went to the podium right away and I said, thank you, folks, but I'm not the Pope. But it was great. So, but I got a big head for a few minutes there.
So. Well, people came expecting at Mass. When you come to Mass, you should come expecting something from God. Not just walking, well, I remember Father Marty at one of the Masses one day. I could have jumped up and shouted an amen to him. He stood there and he turned around and he pointed up to the crucifix and he said, what have you all done with this today? What have you done with the blood of Christ? Something to that effect.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing. And he said, and he turned around, he looked at the congregation, he said, why did you come here today? As an obligation to warm the pew? And I went, whoa.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, you should come because I need to be here.
Yeah.
I need to be here. Yeah. And I thought, Father Marty, you're getting a little evangelical, but I'm kind of liking this because,
he's got it in him.
You're calling it out
the
way it is. And I thought, that's what we need to hear. Yeah. Why are you here?
That's right.
Let's pivot a little bit here and talk about where Let's see, we're in the middle, kind of early middle part of Lent now. Mm-hmm. And we've been in Lent for 3-4 weeks?
One full week. A little bit. Yeah. Ash Wednesday was a week ago.
Right. Yeah. Start on St. Valentine's Day.
Yeah, St. Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So
we're far enough into Lent to start thinking about Holy Week and mm-hmm. Easter and finishing Lent. What I'm thinking of particularly is finishing Lent strong.
Yeah.
A lot of people talk about giving up something for Lent, mm-hmm. and it's usually some kind of a vice.
Right.
When you got here tonight, John, you were talking about you didn't really give anything up this year. You're doing extra.
I just all the years I've done gone through Lent, in the few years I'm basically a new Catholic, but it was give up something. I thought, and it just something said, don't give up something. Do more.
Mm-hmm.
Pray more. Read more scripture. Pray the rosary more. Think about the things of God more. See what you can do to help others more. What can you do? That's what you should do for Lent. It's not a matter of, well, I'm going to give up M&Ms, or I'm going to give up, I'm not going to be drinking any, alcohol or what. No, you need to do more. What can I do more for the church? How can I help more? Should I be an usher? Should I be a Eucharistic minister? Should I be a lectern? We always need help. We're always short people.
Yeah, at work in November, everybody gave up sugar. They had no sugar November.
And that's fine.
And I decided that I was going to have a no broccoli November. and I was successful.
I'm sure you were.
With that.
Yeah, I gave up rutabagas, so yeah. that was good.
But that's what I'm trying to do this year, too, is... I'm doing the Hallow app, has a prayer 40. They're mm-hmm. doing 40 days of different devotions and different priests and Father Mike's homily on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it's really been good so far. And I started reading the Beautiful Eucharist book that they handed out on Ash Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. I have not read that yet.
And that's been a very interesting take on each chapter is writings and from a different authors.
Mm-hmm.
About the Eucharist and about their experience with the Eucharist. And it's really been interesting so far. I'm three or four paragraphs into it.
Mm-hmm.
And Father Jake is leading that through his letter in the bulletins. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good book. If you picked one up at Ash Wednesday, pick it up and start reading it because it's worth your time. And if you didn't pick one up, stop by the parish office and pick one up, because I'm pretty sure they still have some left.
I don't know if we're going to have any more left at church. We'll find out. I thought I saw some over here. There might be
some in the back of the church.
Yeah, I thought I saw some at St. Mary's over here tonight.
And of course, ultimately, the end of Lent is Holy Week.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about Holy Week and what the church offers us during Holy Week.
Well, it's called the Sacred Triduum. Triduum means three, so sacred three, the sacred 3 days. That would be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thursday commemorates when our Lord instituted the Blessed Sacrament, the mm-hmm. Eucharist,
mm-hmm.
and also his agony in the garden, and then his arrest and transferal to Pilate's Praetorium. Friday commemorates the death of Christ,
mm-hmm.
crucifixion. And Saturday, all day long, it's really interesting. We are not allowed to have Mass on Friday or Saturday. Those are the only 2 days of the year that we can't have Mass because we are commemorating the death of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Saturday, we are allowed to have Mass after sundown.
Right.
And so that's Holy Saturday when we're commemorating the Lord being in the tomb. And then in a very glorious way, his resurrection from the dead. And so liturgically... it's one of the most beautiful ceremonies you could ever attend if you haven't attended it. It's long.
It is long, but it's...
We'll warn people about that, but it's worthwhile.
If you've never gone, you should go.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing to go to.
Yeah, it really is. And so is Good Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people tell me that I've always asked them, what part of Holy Week do you like the best? And they say either Good Friday or Holy Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Well, explain a little bit about... on Good Friday and Holy Saturday, when you come into the church, you don't genuflect.
because the Eucharist is not present in the tabernacle.
Right.
On Holy Thursday night, after the Mass, the priest is instructed to take the Eucharist. Actually, it's put into a ciborium, which is a container for the Eucharist. And there you have a holy hour all the way up until, some places it's midnight, some places it's 10 o'clock, commemorates our Lord being in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then at the end of that, whether that's 10 o'clock or midnight, he's supposed to take it and put it in the altar of repose, which is a side altar someplace, or a back altar, someplace which is not easily accessible by the people. So that all day long during Holy Saturday, Good Friday and Holy Saturday, we are made conscious liturgically of the absence of Christ. And that's what makes those two ceremonies so beautiful. And then at sundown, we can begin the service of the resurrection of Christ, but not until the sun is down. So since Easter comes at a different time every year, we have a different situation where, it might be, like it's going to be, I think, 8:30 or so this year, because Easter is March 31st, the last day of March. Sometimes it comes earlier than that, sometimes later. But we can't begin that service until the sun is down, because the day is over.
But during the Friday and Saturday celebrations, services, you still get communion.
Yes.
Because they consecrate enough hosts at the Holy Thursday Mass to accommodate the people who want communion.
And that's kind of a modern adaptation. That came about in 1956. The Pope at the time was Pius XII, and he was quite a liturgist. And he wanted us to still have availability of the Eucharist, even though we couldn't have Mass. And so he said that we could have communion on Good Friday, and also, if necessity mandated it, we could have it on Holy Saturday too. We're not allowed to give any of the sacraments on those 2 days. One time I brought a man into the church on his deathbed, and it was on Holy Saturday. And I gave him everything. No. Baptized him, confirmed him, gave him First Communion. And I just told another priest that. I said, I just broke all the rules of the church. But I really didn't break them, because in a case of emergency, everything goes. So it was great. But it's a really, I always have the same, I shouldn't tell people this, but I always have the same sermon every Sunday before Easter, on Palm Sunday. And it's a sermon about being present with the church during the coming week, during Holy Week. A lot of people jump from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. And you miss out on so much. You miss out on the whole narration and the whole living of the Paschal mystery. And so I call my sermon, Someone is Going in the Family is Going to Die This Week. And I tried to make it very personal. What's really strange, and I said this maybe sometime before, isn't that, it's interesting the way God works. But it doesn't leave me with any bitterness or any feeling of sadness. Right. It's just the way God works in a person's life.
Mm-hmm. Why, on Palm Sunday, when Jesus enters Jerusalem, the crowds greeted him, and they were spreading palm branches before him, and they were... this is the King, this is our Savior.
Yeah.
And in a week, they went from that to crucify him.
The same people.
How did that happen?
Well, they welcomed him, because that was the way of welcoming a person,
a king,
yeah. Hosanna to the Son of David. That goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Probably because of the significance of the last couple of days of the week.
So the focus is really on the Triduum.
On the Triduum, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Which makes it more special.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So the other thing I wondered is, and I don't even know why this popped into my head, but why do they call it Christ's Passion?
His Passion?
Yeah.
Well, the word Passion comes from the Latin Passio, which means something that affects you, something that, you say we are passionately in love, we are... You're overwhelmed by the experience, and the passion of Christ would be something that truly affected him so much that he offered his own life, for our salvation. So
it was his passion for us.
Yes.
His love for us,
yeah.
He knew what was coming, and he even said his father, let this cup pass from my lips. because he knew it was coming, but he says, but thine will be done. But
thine will be done.
That's the part of the Lord's Prayer that just I always, it's emboldened in me to where I say, thy will be done.
Yeah, thy will be done.
Whatever's going to happen, yeah. Thy will be done.
That's right.
Thy will be done, Lord.
Yeah. And that's part of the providence. We were talking earlier before we went on the air that one of these weeks we're going to devote something to the providential will of God. And that's part of God's providence. We usually think of providence as being a good thing, but really it's the providential will of God is the all-encompassing will of the Father, both good and bad. Doesn't mean that God never wills anything bad.
No.
But he allows bad things to happen in view of his overall plan for
sacrificing his son for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Holy Week is a very powerful thing.
It is.
Yes.
And if
it's
you
too powerful to miss. I always say mm-hmm. It's too powerful to miss.
And if you've never gone to the Saturday night vigil mass,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that is it's beautiful.
With the blessing of the fire. Yeah. And they darken the church, and everybody yes. comes in and lights candles, and the church just slowly becomes lighted by the candles. Mm-hmm. That's a very moving thing.
It's sort of like midnight mass mm-hmm. at Christmas, which is like, I think, and then it went to midnight mass at 11, and then it went to like midnight mass at 8:30, you know, and I love midnight mass. Of course, we don't have midnight mass anymore.
Yeah.
And it used to be midnight mass was packed.
Oh, sure.
It was standing room only. Sure. And now it's like, where is everybody?
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah, it's a little bit longer mass. And,
sure.
And they bring in the OCIA, RCIA candidates,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is, that's special to watch too.
Absolutely.
To witness and be a part of too, mm-hmm. because we need to welcome them into the church, into
and
the body
very,
of Christ.
They're very touched by all of that, because right. for many of them, it's the first time that they've ever seen that, and they're an intimate part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
as a kid, that was my favorite. I know it's probably a strange kid, but that was my Easter Vigil was my favorite. Dad always,
is it?
Yeah, my dad played it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you go, but you had that candle.
Well, you had right.
They let you have fire.
So much,
huh?
Yeah, it wasn't so much the liturgical meaning, whatever, yeah. But you had that candle, you know. And that was just the neatest part.
The candle with your cherry bomb.
Yeah.
That sounds a little
dangerous.
I hope
you didn't bring your cherry bombs.
Well, if we ever hear
a cherry bomb go off in St. John's,
we'll know who to look for.
My dad took care of that. He said, you better let me handle that one.
Well, very good. We are coming up to the end of the show. So we're, as Jack Bauer would say on 24, we're running out of time.
We're running out of time. It's amazing how fast time goes by.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It really is.
This has been very interesting. I've really enjoyed the show. Father Mike, would you like to close the show with another one of your blessings?
Blessing, sure. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Amen.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, come down upon you all and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you, Father.
My honor.
Thanks to all of you guys for being here.
Yeah, I appreciate John. Oh. I appreciate you coming.
You're welcome.
Mike, I appreciate you stopping by and joining us for the hour.
And Mike, it was good to listen to what you had to say, because things that you would say you may not know, but bless me.
Oh, okay. Sure they do.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I didn't get to ask my question.
Which, I'm glad you didn't.
We're actually
no answer for you, so I'm glad you didn't ask it.
Yeah, we're actually going to do a show on Vatican II, so we're going to dedicate one to you. So when we do that, I'll send you an invite. So as Lent continues and we rend our souls instead of our garments, we invite you to be a part of what the Catholic Church offers in order to prepare ourselves for the most important event in the church year. Step outside your comfort zone this Lent and experience something new. Join us at Mass, especially during Holy Week. If you are attending Mass regularly, invite someone to join you. Father Mike, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. John, Mike, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
I'd also like to thank our listeners for tuning in. Please join us again on the radio or on the website at kcdmradio.org. Until then, remember, God loves you and has a plan for your life. Lent is the perfect time to grow in your faith. Amen. Good night, everybody, and God bless you all. Okay.